Genealogy by Tim, Episode 7. Welcome back for another exciting episode of Genealogy by Tim. Today is Sunday, December 5th. I'm a day late on this one. That's because work has been really tough for me lately with a full-time job of teaching and on top of that, night classes. So I didn't write a script for this one. I'm just kind of winging it. Let's see if you can tell the difference. I've got three stories for you today. The first story is about our new indexing in the Google Podcasts. I've got an interesting occurrence on the FamilySearch.org website regarding record hints. And lastly, I want to share with you where it all began. The beginning of my, the origin story, if you will, of my genealogy adventure. All that coming up this month on Genealogy by Tim. Okay, so this month's first story comes to you through a little bit of an accident, but maybe it's like a happy accident. I got to wondering, okay, I do these podcasts once a month, and I've got to wondering, who, if anyone, is out there listening? And I was looking up tools that might help me answer that question. And, you know, first place to go for this sort of thing is Google, obviously. And they had a tool that I discovered that will do analytics on podcasts. And if you go to the website, podcastmanager.google.com, you will find this tool. And what you got to do is put in your podcast feed, put in your email address, the one that's associated with the podcast, and if you can confirm that the podcast is yours, it will show you some analytics about it. And I was wondering, well, how does this work? Because, you know, I said in the beginning I wasn't quite ready to submit this feed to Google, but maybe they have some kind of tool that can that maybe I can put on my website or whatever that can count the listens. So I was interested. I wanted to know who out there was listening and what tools were available to help me discover that. So I did the thing. I put my podcast feed in there. I put my email address in there, and I got into their little analytics page, which, you know, it's pretty well organized. I kind of like it. But what I was not counting on was that by doing this, I submitted my feed into the Google Podcasts manager. not the manager, but the actual Google Podcasts as well. You can now find me on Google Podcasts, apparently. And how one might go about doing this is by going to podcasts.google.com, okay, and you will see at that page some popular podcasts, some podcasts that you might like, some that you may already subscribe to, and then if you scroll down toward the bottom of that page, there's a little horizontal kind of gallery of additional podcasts. And if you scroll about 12 pages to the right on this gallery of additional, if you search at the top of the screen for genealogy and then at the bottom of this page, all right, there's a results page. At the bottom of that page, there's a gallery. If you scroll about 12 pages to the right on that gallery, you will find none other than Genealogy by Tim. I am there. So one thing to point out is I have, through Google Podcasts so far since doing this, one subscriber, probably myself. Okay, it's humble beginnings. But we'll see if anybody finds me through this. I am apparently findable. I went to the computer lab in my school, which is completely dissociated from any account of mine at home, and I was able to find myself on that computer. So it is live. People can find me through Google Podcasts by searching genealogy. I'm just buried now. And another thing to point out is that a great many of the podcasts showing up under Google Podcasts when you search for genealogy, a great many of them are no longer in production. And they may have only like 5 or 6 episodes, and they end in 2019. So, you know, there is a possibility that I might bubble up to the top of this if I get, you know, some more impressions. But for now, I'm kind of buried, which is kind of how I still want it, because my website is hosted on a very old laptop, still on that old thing. And I'm still using my residential internet to serve this podcast. If I get a flood of listeners, you know, I might have to upgrade to business internet or something like that, or heaven forbid, purchase third-party hosting. But that's the news. That's the news on my visibility. I am up now. I am indexed in Google Podcasts. Go ahead and find me there. Maybe tell a friend or two, but not three, because I don't want to overload my server or my internet connection. We'll see how it goes. It seems to be going so far so good. There you have it. So my second story of the month comes to you from FamilySearch.org, where I have been feverishly contributing to the global online family tree there. And what I have discovered is that I am no longer receiving hints on my welcome page. Okay? And I'm interested to know why. Interested to know why that is. And here is kind of the background of, you know, my thoughts on it this month. I kind of had a lot of success, as you may have heard, in past episodes with Smith Family Research. I did a whole lot of contributions. I had a user who turned out to be a second cousin of my father contact me, who noticed all of my contributions and dropped me a line to say, hey, are we related? And I said, yes, we are. So I had been doing a whole lot of work, and I kind of like wrapped up the Smith portion of my work on the family tree. And then I was like, well, what do I do now? And what I decided to do was just go into this welcome page. The welcome page, if you go to FamilySearch.org, signed in, you will see, what I see is on the left side of the screen, there's some new memories and photographs posted that may be of interest to me. And on the right side of the screen, what I used to see was a long list of hints. And you know, I'm not sure what order they're in, but I just decided, you know, I wasn't sure if there was a bottom of this list. Because like when you clear one, you know, another one appears at the bottom. And I was wondering, does this ever end? Is it possible for a person to get to the end of their record hints? If you just clear them one after another after another, is there a bottom? And so, yeah, I just, you know, to the best of my ability, went through the record hints, attached the suggested documents to the people, or marked if it was not a true match, or ignored them if I wasn't sure one way or the other. So I just kept knocking out these record hints one at a time, and then eventually I got up to this hint and cleared that one, and then I got to my front page again, and no more record hints, and they all disappeared. And it's not like I finished. I didn't finish going through all the lists. There was like a good 10 suggestions. I just came back to my front page and they were all gone. And my front page remains that way to this day. This was maybe 2 weeks ago that this happened. So I'm wondering if that's a bug or a feature of this website, and I'm going to have to send a support email and see if I can get some official word on whether that's how it's supposed to be. Like, if you just go ahead and do, I don't know, 50, 100 record hints, do they give you like a little cooldown period, or did someone complain about me and have me sort of deny these record hints? I seriously doubt the latter is, but like, I'm going through all the possibilities of why this may have happened. I was very busy on Family Tree record hints, and so far in the year 2021, I have made 2,696 contributions, which may be merging people or attaching records to people or adding people. But 2,696, and that's where I lost the record hints on my front page. So I'll keep you posted on the story. I'm going to send an email to tech support here and ask them if this is normal or if it's a bug or if it's a feature. All right, time for the main event of this month's podcast, and that is my genealogy origin story. Everyone's got an origin story. All right, here is mine, and it goes back to about 2008, 2007, okay, when I heard my grandfather tell a story about how the Graham family left or were driven out of Scotland and arrived in Ireland, and it's a very compelling story. And I was attending law school at the time, so I was very interested in fact-gathering and proving things, okay? So when my grandfather told this story, my reaction to it was, I would love to see evidence of this, okay? And I just kind of made it, you know, a consistent hobby to track down evidence, and I wanted to be able to one day present the evidence to my grandfather of the story that he told. Unfortunately, I did not get to do this. My grandfather passed away in 2016, and I have not yet found evidence either confirming or denying the story that he told of how our ancestors either left or were driven out of Scotland and moved to Ireland. Now, for the actual content of the story, I will let you listen to my grandfather in his own words. The story here is, I was and still am really shy about asking people, hey, can I interview you for my project, for my podcast? I'm just like really kind of worried that they'll be like, no, I don't want to be recorded. But you know, a lot of people, it's a weird irrational fear, because I do think a lot of people are kind of interested in that, but I'm always like afraid to ask. So this was like a younger, more timid version of myself, where I just asked my grandfather for the story, and then I just hit record on my audio recorder. So I didn't like ask for, hey, would you like, can I record you? Okay, I just sort of asked, and I had the machine in my pocket, and I just hit record on it. two reasons why you shouldn't do this. One is that the audio quality is not going to be good if you're kind of hiding your recording device, and you may brush up in your pockets and you get a lot of noise that way. So that's one reason. And the other reason is it's actually not legal to secretly record people. So if my grandfather were alive, technically there would be like a cause of action. You're not supposed to. I mean, if someone discovers you made a secret recording of them, they can kind of press charges against you. So two good reasons not to just secretly record people. However, my attitude at the time was I really want to get this recording, and my need is too great to risk rejection. All right, that's a quote from an old Star Trek episode. I was like, I really need to have this recording, whether he says yes or no. So I just went ahead and hit record. I think it's better advised that you actually get permission of people when you record them. Better for your audio, better legally. This week, you will get to hear the story from, in my grandfather's words, the story that got me interested in genealogy. Take it away, Grandpa.
One other thing you could tell me, though, is that legend that you heard about tying a guy up to a dock at low tide.
Well, that's not a legend. That's the truth.
Well,
what it was when they were, when the Scots were persecuting the Catholics mm-hmm. in Scotland, and the Catholics were being killed and murdered, a lot of them left Scotland and went to Ireland. And that's how you got a lot of the Scots into Ireland. Mm-hmm. Graham is basically a Scots name, but we're from Ireland. And I went into the infirmary one time at RCA, and this girl, her name was Graham, and she was an older woman, and she kept talking, and she said, "Yeah." She didn't say, "Well, I don't know what your religion is, but you know what went on there." I said, "Yeah." I said, "They were persecuting the Catholics." So she said, "We're both Grahams." I said, "I'm Catholic." She said, "Well, I'm Protestant." and so I said, "Okay." But she said, "Well, you know what happened, don't you, down there back in the, I guess it was in the latter part of the 19th century, probably somewhere in the 1860s or the 1840s, I don't know when it was. I have to look up in the history book. But Graham of, I just don't have the memory anymore. I'd have to look it up. I could look it up in the thing, I forget. Well, anyway, that part of the Graham clan, okay, was in favor with the King of England, who had been King James, I guess, at the time, and they were Protestant. And when they killed a couple of wrong Catholics. Because these guys says, "We're going to get even with your ass." And so what they did, they got the leader of the Graham clan on the Protestant side and tied him to the pilings, okay, at the docks. So when high tide came in, he was drowned. And that's how they got rid of the head of the Graham clan in Scotland. But he was immediately replaced, I mean, you know. But Graham of, it's in the you have to go to Scotland, and the Graham clan in Scotland is the name of, you know, like Graham of so and so. I know what it is, but in fact, it's that up there. I'm just trying to think what that is. That's the Graham of Claver. Graham of Claver.
Claver.
CLA. I think it's CLAVER. Graham of Claver. That is the one that they nailed to the cross.
Okay.
I'd have to look that up, though. Graham of Claver.
So they tied him up to where he was hanging above the water until it got to high tide.
That's right.
He saw the tide come up and go, and
he was on the beach. I'm done. He's done.
And he feels the water just touching him, and just
slow down.
That's.
So there's two big migrations. One was in the 1600s, and one was in the 1800s. Now, to the best of my knowledge, my relatives came over in the 1800 migration. There was two big migrations, 16 and 1801. I just don't know which ones they came in. And they would, if they were alive, they would, naturally they would tell us. But they had to come over in the 1800s because they spoke like they just got off the pickle boat. All right, lad, what are you doing? You talk to my grandfather, he sounded like he just got off the pickle boat.
Oh, okay. From Ireland.
So he had to be from the 1800 migration. And then there was the 1600 migration that came over here. Of course, they would have long lost their Irish accent.
Right.
Or brogue, as they say. So both of them spoke. All my grandparents, they all spoke like they just got off the pickle boat. And so they were all 100% Irish. And so they were in the 1800 migration.
So when did you hear that story about tying the guy to the dock at the time?
25 years ago.
Some of the larger ones.
And where was it again?
In Scotland.
I mean, like, where did you hear it?
Oh, I heard it in Camden, New Jersey. But Beckett and Cooper.
Beckett and Cooper. All right.
In the RCA complex. In the RCA, they had an infirmary there. If you got hurt in a job.
What do you make about consumer appetite right now?
I don't know why. I think I just had to go over it.
Giving blood work.
Yeah, probably doing something like that.
It's a mixed picture because,
yeah.
Yes, the
I definitely
want to
hit the library and the history books to find mention of that. I'd love to hear more details.
It's Graham of Flavor.
That was the sound of my grandfather, Joseph A. Graham, explaining how the Scottish Grahams were either driven out of or left Scotland and moved to Ireland. And you also heard in there my Uncle Jim asking a few clarifying questions, and I even heard my grandmother's voice in there. And that puts the date of this recording solidly around 2008 or 2007. I went ahead and did a little bit of follow-up research on what my grandfather told me, and the name that he was struggling to remember was probably John Graham of Claverhouse, 1st Viscount of Dundee. But if you look him up on Britannica, Britannica.com, it appears that he did not die the way that my grandfather described. John Graham of Claverhouse seems to have died around the year 1689 in battle when he was shot off of his horse. So I don't think this is the person that he was referring to. And I looked online many times. I would type in things like Graham Chief drowned, stuff like that, and I could not find mention of the story that my grandfather told. So it's kind of a mystery to me. If anyone out there listening has more details about this, I'd certainly be glad to hear of them. But so to me, the story that my grandfather told remains a mystery, although he insists that it's the truth. This was not a story that was transmitted down my family line through the generations. You heard what he said about where he got the story. He said he was working at the RCA building in Camden. I guess he said in the recording, he said it was about 25 years ago, so now that would be about 35 or 37 years ago. He heard this story, and I guess there was like a hospital room in there. My grandmother said he was given blood at the time when the person taking his blood told him this story. And that's kind of how that came into being as adopted as our own family lore. But the truth of it is still uncertain, and that's how I got into this whole family history thing. I heard that story, and I thought, that needs documentation. All right, that's it for this month. I'll see you all again next month. As always, keep on digging. Next family history adventure awaits.